Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you did not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Can you see? Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus has now been teaching for a long time, years, traveling all around Judea. And he has been healing the sick, comforting the hurting, and showing God's mercy. And it would not be too long from now where he will enter Jerusalem for the last time. Today's gospel opens up, and we hear of Jesus in Solomon's colonnade. In our Bible study, adult Bible study, after service a week or so ago, we looked at Solomon's colonnade. It's a large area on one side of the temple grounds that can hold thousands of people. Jesus is walking through there, presumably teaching as usual, and he is now surrounded by Jews. Many of them seem to be getting rather antsy as to just who Jesus is. For many of the Jews, the Christ would lead this final revolt against the Romans and reestablish David's throne in Jerusalem. Many were hoping that Jesus was that very Messiah. "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." "I have told you, but you did not believe." Jesus told all who would listen who he was through his miracles. The blind receiving sight, the deaf hearing, the lame walking, and the dead being raised. But they did not listen to any of this. For those people, they had too many competing voices. Pharisees, Sadducees, the Romans, on and on and on. All of them vying for attention. All of them demanding to be heard. It's not unlike what we have in Washington, D.C. right now. Countless news outlets and 535 members of Congress, any one of them that can get in front of a camera claiming that what they have to say is the most important thing, and we must listen to them. But you see, that's not what Jesus does. He does not compete for the people's attention. He says, "You did not listen. You followed others. But these here, these sitting around, these are my sheep. They know my voice. I know them, and they follow me." He also tells them that he and the Father are one, and that no one can snatch his sheep from his hands. Now, this does not go over very well with those who are standing around listening, because our reading ends at verse 30, and in verse 31, we learn that they want to stone Jesus to death for what he has just said. But Jesus is the very Christ. But the people don't recognize him because he is so different from the present leaders. The leaders in Jesus' day only take from the people. Whether it's the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Roman occupiers, they took from the people, money, time, possessions, freedom, sometimes their lives. All of these were required to stay on their good side. And that's what is so different about Jesus. As the good shepherd, it's what he gives, namely protection. And in that protection is forgiveness, life, and salvation. For those of you who have kids, you know what it was like when your first one was born. You get over the initial shock of suddenly being a parent, thinking, wow, we're really doing this. And you come home with that overwhelming feeling, that need to protect that little one from all the craziness that is going on outside your front door. But the older they get, the harder it is to do that. It doesn't take very long for them to see the violent and dangerous reality of a world broken by sin. And with that realization comes other voices demanding their allegiance. Allegiance that points to the world and blames God for all that is wrong. After all, why worship a God that allows such suffering to continue, or worse yet, is powerless to stop it? But remember that one little sheep that wandered off from the 99. I'm sure it all seemed to be going so well as it began finding greener grass step after step, only soon to look up and find itself far away. The promise of greener grass gone, and has turned into rocks, darkness, and wild beasts looking for their own choice dinner. The world for that little sheep has become a terrifying place. Lost, afraid, crying out for help, but no one answers. It's because everything is broken by sin. It's the world that we find ourselves living in, filled with deceptions, cheaters, violence, pain, a world filled with death. However, none of this was planned. In the garden, sin entered our creator's perfect creation and twisted it all out of shape, turning people against each other and, worse, people against God. Something had to be done about it, so the Father would send his Son to break into this creation, to overcome death. And that battle would be fought in a desolate place, on the cross, as darkness covers the land and competing voices shouting from below. It is here that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, enduring the separation from all that he knows, including his Father in heaven. But 3 days later, he is not here. He is risen, just like he told you. And the great shepherd is back to the task of seeking and saving his lost sheep. Jesus, in his own words, tells us that when the shepherd finds the sheep, he picks him up and carries it in his arms. But notice that the rocky, desolate place, the darkness, the wild beasts, they all still remain. But the lamb is protected from them by the shepherd. By his word and the Holy Spirit, our great shepherd has found and rescued us. Our first experience with this comes in the precious waters of baptism. It is here that our shepherd wraps his arms around us as the water is poured over us. In these waters, we die with him and we rise again to new life as forgiven children of God. The world around us is still broken. Still a dark and scary place with Satan roaring like a wild beast looking who he would devour. But we are protected by our shepherd with his word and his sacraments. In them we hear the voice of the shepherd leading us to eternal life. When we gather here, we hear the shepherd forgive our sins in his absolution. We hear our shepherd speak to us in his word as it is taught and preached in sincerity and truth. We hear our shepherd's voice and we follow him to his holy supper, where he strengthens our faith and forgives our sins, even the sin of listening to competing voices. This morning, Jesus says, I am. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am your good shepherd. You know my voice and you follow me. For us then, we can rest assured that all those other voices are merely background noise of a broken world, and that by following the voice of the good shepherd, he leads us to forgiveness, life, and salvation. Amen.